You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Everybody ready for the Word today? Yes. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians 3. Hallelujah. I'll try not to roll that around too much. Colossians, the third chapter. This has been a good study. You know, we've been teaching on Colossians for a while on Sunday mornings. On Wednesday nights, we've been teaching on faith or things related to faith. Last Wednesday, we taught on, in fact, the title was One More Night with the Frogs. But you'll have to get the CD to figure out what that was about. But anyway, no, we're just teaching on then about, do you want to be healed? That's what Jesus told that man in John 5 at the Pool of Bethesda. That's a question I think we need to answer. Do we want to be delivered? Do we want to be set free? We often say, I wish God would show up. But if you really want to, you'll make a move. And the frog deal was when Pharaoh, I thought was fascinating, when Moses came to Pharaoh after the second plague, the plague of frogs, and they were covering the land of Egypt except the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were. And he came in to Pharaoh, and you know, he said, let my people go. And he said, okay, I'll let them go, I'll let them go, let them go. He said that after every plague, and then he'd retract. And so Moses says, well, I'll give you the honor of saying when they leave. And he says, tomorrow. And I always thought, what a knucklehead. Yeah. Why would you want one more night with the frogs? Right. When you could get rid of them today. Right. But that's what it says. It's right there in Exodus 8 chapter, I believe is where it is. He says, tomorrow. But that shows you how Pharaoh wasn't all that smart. But we're not either sometimes. Are you with me? Sometimes we let things continue instead of just going to prayer and faith and get in there and take care of that thing. Hallelujah. So we taught on that, been teaching on that on Wednesdays. But we're on Colossians, the book of Colossians, written to the Colossae, to the saints at Colossae, and we're in the third chapter. Everybody have your Bibles?
Amen.
Okay. Well, follow along with me. I'm reading now the New King James Version. It might be slightly different than yours, but it's basically the same. Third chapter, first verse, if you then be raised or risen with Christ, King James Version says, everybody say, I've been raised.
I've been raised.
Now think about that. You know, we use raised for a lot of different things. Raising children, you know, and raising them up and teaching them and maturing them till they get to their, where they're grown, they're raised, you know, in that sense. And of course, in this sense, he's talking about just taking us out of a dead situation into a live situation. We have been raised with Christ, raised from death to life. Hallelujah. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm not still dead. I'm not still lost. I'm not still going to hell. I've been raised. I'm alive. In fact, water baptism is a picture of that. You know, when we are baptized, we get the picture of dying and being buried with Him in baptism, and raised coming up out of the water to walk with Him in newness of life. We had several baptisms Wednesday night. In fact, I believe we have some more coming up this Wednesday. People want to get baptized. If you're saved and you're a Christian, it's for you. It's for people who are saved. You know, I think it's interesting that the early church, many times when they'd make their baptism to baptize people, this is a true story, they make them in the shape of caskets because it symbolized death. I think that's fascinating. I mean, what a picture that you die to your old life. And you come up a new person in Christ. Now, I am not who I used to be. I mean, if you had known me before I got saved, you didn't know me. You knew that other person. That was Michael Williams B.C. before Christ. This is Michael Williams A.D. in the year of our Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this is a different Michael Williams. I'm not perfect in the sense that I can sin and I still have to repent of sin. But inside, my nature has been changed. Hallelujah. I've been raised. I've been raised with Christ. Now, that gives me a certain obligation, responsibility, because it says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. You and I need to change our minds. We need to change what we think about, change what we talk about, change the people we hang around with, obviously, because we have been raised. Not in order to be raised, not to become a Christian, but because we are Christians, because we have been raised.
Yeah.
We should act different, talk different. And that all is connected to what we mind or what we think on. Is there a towel over there it's hitting, or is that hitting that bucket? I'm not worried about what I'm saying because he can edit all that out for television. You're the ones that have to suffer for being here live. Can you put a towel on it? Just okay, good. It's like Chinese water torture, and I'm preaching. I hate my sermon be, you know, compared to Chinese water torture, but thank you, Debbie. Anyway, I've been raised so I should think different. I should mind different things. You know, Jeanette said something as we were coming out of class, that saying people say, you're just so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, I'd submit to you, we're no earthly good because we're not heavenly minded enough.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. And people often say this, you know, you just read the Bible all your life, you're just going to get brainwashed. Well, I'll take that. My brain needs to be washed. There's a whole world out there with dirty brains that need to be washed with the Word. So some of those cliches we use really are just, you know, they're a little twisted to say the least. I need to be more heavenly minded so I can be more of more earthly good, as it were. I'm going to be of more earthly good to my wife, to my children, to my church, to my community, if I mind those things which are above. If I live to forgive, to love, to bless, to heal, to bring hope, so on and so forth. That's what he's talking about. Now, often we'll look at that and we'll say, oh, we're not supposed to be thinking about cars and, you know, and houses and all these kinds of things. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about earthly things. And he lists them later on, anger, bitterness, and hatred, and all those kinds of things. God doesn't care if you have a nice car. Actually, he does care. He wants you to have a nice car. He does. He wants you to have a good home. He wants you to have things. Things are fine as long as you have them and they don't have you. You know, you can use them for the glory of God and the kingdom of God. You can get a big house and help people with a big house. You can get a lot of food and feed several people.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not the things he says you don't need to mind. Of course, we're mindful of those things. We have to. We have to live. We have to eat. Are you with me? So that's going on. But what he's talking about is the things of the earth.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this has been misquoted, misinterpreted, and people, you know, preachers have made out that we should be poor and we should, if we ever do get blessed, we feel kind of guilty about it. Hello? And that's not even what he's talking about. In fact, he tells us in Matthew 6 chapter, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Put him first, as it were, in Genesis. Deuteronomy 28 chapter, it says, if we hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord our God, do that which is right in his sight, keep his commandments which he commands us this day, that the Lord God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you, and blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. It says he'll cause the rain to come down your land in its season to bless the ground, as it were. And it says he'll bless all the work of your hand. You'll lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Hallelujah. From obedience, just obeying God. So don't get the idea and don't buy the lie that God wants you poor. No one benefits from poverty. Now, granted, greed is wrong. Lust is wrong. Miserly attitude is wrong. Don't be a Scrooge. Don't be the Grinch that stole Christmas. But by all means, let God bless us. Let's so we can help others. So we can bless others. I think about prosperity in our church. Our church is a blessed church. We're out of debt. But we give, we give, we give, we give. That's why we want to prosper, so we can give, so we can help, so we can bless.
Amen.
So I don't mind earthly things, meaning anger, wrath, bitterness, sin, lust. Are you out there? I mind heavenly things, love, forgiveness, mercy, blessing others, giving to others. That's good stuff. So it says, of course, this being raised is real. It's all through the Scripture. Romans 8:11 says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in your body, He'll quicken or make alive your mortal body. He'll raise it up. Ephesians 2:5 and 6 talks about we've been risen with Christ and seated with Him in heavenly places. Praise God, I've been risen. I've been risen. I don't know if that's right or not, but I've been risen. Grammatically correct. I'm risen. Glory. I'm not dead anymore. Hallelujah. Now, one day I'm going to rise out of that grave. That body's going to come out of that grave. But I've already been risen. I've already been raised in Christ. Hallelujah. And he says, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died, that old man, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Man, I love that. You know, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. So I'm dead, but I'm alive.
Yeah.
You're thinking, well, you're a zombie? No, no. No, that old man died and a new man took its place. Yeah. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yeah. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Oh, I may look the same. My body may age very slowly. Before y'all had a chance to say amen on that one. However, as 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, although the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. In the 18th verse of that same chapter says, while we look not to the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, this inward man, heaven, the world of the Spirit. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal or changing, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Hallelujah. You and I are going to live forever. We're going to look at all this as an old tale one day because we've been risen with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. Amen? And our life is hid. That's what he goes on to say. See, our life is actually hid in God. Third verse, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm in Christ. You're in Christ. Oh, I'm walking around down here, but my life, my real life is hidden in Christ. When this body passes away, don't grieve for me. Hello. I hope you cry because you miss me. But don't cry for me. There may be a little grief in that sense, but we don't grieve as others which have no hope, the Bible says. When this body dies, this me, the real me, the one that was raised with Christ 35 plus years ago, the one that was raised with Christ is going right on into glory. Woo! Yeah. And every loved one of yours that has left this earth, everyone that knew Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are okay. Yeah. They are just fine. They're doing a lot better than we are. They're in heaven. They're in glory. Because that was the real them anyway. The real them was not the body. The real you is not your body. Your life is hid. It's in Christ. This is just a vehicle, just a suit of clothes. You know, I say often at funerals when I get, you know, I wear a suit because you listen to me a little better. Don't really like suits. I'd a whole lot rather wear jeans. Are you with me? You know, I'm just comfortable in that. But I wear suits because I know people kind of expect that. And for some reason, I look more intelligent. A little more dignified, I guess, you know. And people listen better, you know, and that's fine. That's what it's about. We want to communicate with people. I won't be a hindrance. But I guarantee you when I get home, this suit's coming off. I won't be laying around watching football this afternoon with this suit on or this tie on. The suit comes off when I get home. And I would dare say many of you today, ladies have nice dresses on, men have suits on. I'm sure y'all going to change as soon as you hit the door, you know. You're going to change. Well, when you get home, that's what happens. At a funeral, you're looking at a body, a suit. They're not in it because they're home. They had to wear it while they were down here, but they don't have to wear it in heaven. That was an earth suit. Hallelujah. They stepped out of that. That's just their body. We all pass by and make comments on how the mortician did, you know, and so on. And I understand. No, I mean, I didn't mean to be funny. But, I mean, we make comments about that. And doesn't he look good or doesn't she look good? And I do the same thing. I mean, we're human. Come on. We've been looking at that body all their life. But that's not them. That's not them. They're not there. We have the committal service at the graveside and we walk away and have some closure and we commit their body to the ground, their spirit to God, and you know, we put them in God's hands. But hey, they were in God's hands the moment they took their last breath.
That's right. That's right.
It didn't happen at the graveside. It happened when they took their last breath.
That's right.
Praise God. And we need to think about that, you know. We don't think heavenly enough. We don't think spiritually enough. We're not heavenly minded enough, I would submit to you.
Yeah.
Now, I know we can be airheads about a lot of things. I understand the principle. I've heard all the blonde jokes. You heard about the two ladies who went to Disney World, two blondes, and they saw a big sign that says, you know, Disney World left, and they started crying and went home. Anyway. Okay, get back with me now. Let's track together here. Somebody just got it. I love it when that happens. 5 minutes later. Okay. And you're not even blonde, Christina. What's the deal? Okay. We're not talking about being that way. We're talking about being heavenly minded. The things of God. Hallelujah. I tell you, it'll set you free to begin to see things from God's perspective. To be heavenly minded. To see what life is really all about. And it makes this life easier. In fact, the more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we are. Hallelujah. And that's what he's saying here. So set your minds, second verse, on things above and not things on earth. You know, Romans talks about that in Romans the 8th chapter, the 5th and the 6th verses. He says to be carnally minded, carnal, fleshly minded, is death. Now, what's he talking about? Cars, houses. No, he's not talking about things. He's talking about attitudes. He's talking about hate. He's talking about murder. He's talking about lust and greed and self-centeredness. And are you with me? Amen. Anger, those kinds of things. To be carnally minded. See, I don't know where we get this idea. As soon as we see carnally minded or things of heaven, things of earth, we start thinking of material things. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about our attitude and the way we treat each other. Now, to be carnally minded, to hate, is death. Hate kills. Love heals. Amen. Bottom line. Bitterness. Don't you be bitter. No, don't be bitter. Don't do that. I don't care what happened to you. I mean, I say that. I mean, I care, yes, but it doesn't matter what happened to you. There's things happen to me, all of us. But, you know, you can get bitter or you can get better. Tragedies happen. We talked about some today. Terrible tragedies around the world. You know, you got a couple of choices. You always have a couple of choices when something happens to you. You can give up or you can get up. Yeah, you can stay where you are. You can go on. You know, there was some tribe, and I don't know if it was Africa, African tribe somewhere. I was reading this. That one of the curses they put on other tribes was that they would never move beyond where they were. Because it was a curse never to go any further than you are. It was a curse never to grow, never to get any better, never to get up. Are you with me? What a curse. I want to move beyond where I am. I want to get beyond this. And God gives us that ability to do that if we'll get heavenly minded, if we'll pray, we'll seek His face. Hallelujah. We don't have to get bitter. We don't have to get angry. We don't have to, you know, hate people. Don't do it. To be carnally minded is death, Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I love that. Life and peace. So he says here, third verse, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, you see that? I mean, he's just not my Lord. I mean, I'm not just serving. He is my life. He's everything. He is my life. Praise God. That's when I leave this life, I'm still alive because Christ is my life. Not this body, not this earth, not everything around here. No, Christ is my life. Jesus is my life. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You know, when Jesus comes back, He's coming for us. And we're going to rise. We're going to rise. All the graves are going to be empty. Praise God. We're going to rise. We're going to meet Him in the air. You know, 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Amen. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Ooh, to be like Jesus. I love that. You know, that's our whole quest, our whole destiny. Is to be conformed to His image, to be like Jesus. We're doing our best to be like Him down here. We're doing our best to love like Him and forgive like Him and live holy like Him and, you know, reach out to people like He would do. What would Jesus do? But I tell you, when He appears in an instant, in a moment, praise God, in the twinkling of an eye, this corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality, death will be swallowed up of life, and the grave will lose its victory, and death will lose its sting. Praise God, we'll be glorified and changed in an instant. And we'll be like Him. And everything about us, everything that corrupts, everything that dies, everything that's mortal, everything that decays will be changed. Woo, we're going to get a brand new suit. Resurrection model. Doesn't need makeup, never gets old. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's coming. We'll see Him as He is. We'll be changed to His glory, to His image, as it were. Now we'll still be distinguishable, but we'll be glorified like He is glorified. That's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now we know in part, then we will know as we are known. When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect was the coming of the Lord, is what he's talking about. And when he comes, that which is in part will be done away. And that glass we see through darkly will be cleared up, and we'll see face to face. And that partial knowledge we have, knowing in part and all, we'll know as we are known. I often wonder at people, they'll say, do you think we'll know each other in heaven? Hey, it's amazing we know each other down here. Up there you know everything, okay? Down here is where the veil is. We'll immediately recognize each other in heaven. There's a spiritual knowing and understanding up there that we have a veil over us here and we have a block over us here that we don't experience that kind of knowing. But when you get to heaven, you'll know. You'll know all your loved ones better than you ever knew them before. You'll see them totally different in glory. You know, it's been said if you actually saw your next door neighbor, if they're a Christian, walking down the aisle at Brookshire's in their glorified state, if you saw them the way they're going to be, you'd probably fall on your feet or fall on your face and probably worship them like a god, and you'd be wrong. But that's how much glory is going to be on all of us. John actually did it in the book of Revelation. You know, he fell down to worship one of the messengers. And you know what he said? He said, don't worship me, I'm one of your brethren. But he saw him in heaven. Well, that's a different look. You talk about a makeover program. You ever seen those, you know, on TV, they make them over, you know? Wow. And here in heaven, and here so-and-so, they come out and everybody just fall down. Because we're going to be totally made over. Totally glorified. Hallelujah. We'll be like him. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, now listen to this. Therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
Brother Osteen used to always tell that Joel Osteen's father was our pastor, John Osteen. He used to always say, when you see a therefore, stop and see what it's there for. Right. Now, so what he's saying here is, in light of all this we just read, because we have been raised with Christ, because we are going to walk with him in glory, hallelujah. Because we are, our life is hidden Christ. Because we've died our old life. Because we now are saved. We now are Christians. We now are in Christ. Therefore, in light of that now, put to death your members. Not your legs and arms and eyes and ears. He names them. He said, put to death your members which are on the earth. This is earth, earthly things. These are the things we're not supposed to think on. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. You listening? That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about, oh man, I got to get rid of my car, got to get rid of my house, I got to get rid of all my things, my earthly things. No, earthly things like this. That's the earthly way of doing things. Hate, are you with me? Uncleanness, evil desire, covetousness, fornication. That's real popular today. Oh, my goodness gracious, I can get on that bandwagon. And then people say we hate people. We don't hate people. We love people. But living together is the biggest thing right now. People don't get married. Well, let's just live together. We'll just, you know, but it's sin.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Yep.
Amen.
We don't hate you. I don't hate you. Homosexuality, you know, it's sin. I don't hate homosexuals. I'm not a homophobe. I think most homosexuals are heterophobes. Just a joke. Stay with me. I mean, come on. We can throw that around back and forth. Oh, you're just afraid. That's why you don't agree. Listen, because I don't agree with something doesn't mean I'm afraid of something.
Right.
And because I don't agree with something doesn't mean I hate somebody.
Right.
I don't agree with myself all the time. But I don't hate myself. But for me as a pastor, stand up and say, well, that's okay. Yes, you know, we've come a long ways. You know, now we know it's all right to live this way. And it's okay. You do your thing. I do my thing. We're all okay. Well, we're not all okay. And doing your own thing is not a good way to live.
That's right.
That's being earthly minded, not heavenly minded. So we stand up very very loudly, very plainly, and say, no matter what the government says, I don't care what the laws say, I can say or don't say. I'm a minister of the gospel. Come on, I have to stand up and tell you that homosexuality is a sin, adultery is a sin, living together is a sin. Now, having said that, I love you and I'm for you, and if you repent, we'll take you in a heartbeat. Bring the homosexual, bring the adulterer, bring the person living. Bring them, come on, bring them on. If they'll repent, we'll take them if they'll repent of their sin. Amen. We're for people. We're not against people. Man, if we were to go down the list of people in here, there's probably prostitutes. Well, I know there's prostitutes in here. Ex-prostitutes. Used to be that. Before Christ. Drug addicts, drug sellers, drug dealers. Convicts. Right on down the list. But you know what? We've been raised with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. New creatures now. See? That's all over. The way I used to live, it's all over. I don't live that way anymore. I'm another person now. And so I got to put to death those members, those bents, proclivities, propensities to sin, those pulls, that old life. Thank God I'm a Christian. Thank God now that things come up that I am a Christian. Oh, I slipped. Don't get me wrong. I've gotten upset. I've crossed the line sometimes. I had to repent. But, you know, I had to put that to death. Anger. Ooh, that's a big one. Wow. Are you with me? Put it to death. You can. See, the good news is you can. You got Jesus now. You got power now you didn't have before. You got friends. You got brothers and sisters that'll pray with you and help you. Praise God. You can overcome your sin. You weren't just delivered from the penalty of your sin. You were delivered from your sins. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Not just from the penalty, but from them. And so, hallelujah, I've been delivered. I've been saved. I've been raised. Now, I need to put to death these very things that I used to do, these very thoughts that come through my head. I need to mind heavenly things and not earthly things. When someone does something wrong to me, I shouldn't think of revenge. I should get on my knees and pray for them and lift them up. Hello.
That's right.
You say, well, I don't like that. I don't either. But that's the rules. You're not the boss and you're not daddy. Daddy makes the rules. This is God's house. Are you with me? You're God's house. You belong to Him. You became a Christian. You took on a whole new set of rules. You don't live the way you used to do. Used to live. I mean, you don't live that way. You don't have the same father you had. Now you got another daddy. Yeah. Let me tell you something. It's a whole lot better over here in this house than it was in that house.
Yes.
And it takes some discipline. You got to, you know, it's not always easy in that sense. It's simple, but I mean, sometimes you got to work at these things. You get mad just like anybody gets mad. But you know what? You can overcome it. Because you're alive. You're not dead. See, you were dead to God, now you're alive to God. You know, the difference between a dead body and a live body is that you can work on a live body and it'll respond. It'll heal. It'll get better. You can give it medicine, it'll get better. You can do surgery, it'll get better. You can do that all day long. A dead body and won't help it one bit. Get it? I'm alive, I'm not dead. It's not over. I can heal up. I can get over it. I can have a little surgery. I can have a come to Jesus meeting. I can go to Dr. Jesus. I can get well. Because I'm alive. I'm not dead. I can get over that thing. Woo! Y'all catching this? Okay. So therefore, put to death. You remember, if you want to put something to death, put hate to death. Come on. Put sin to death. Put envy to death. Put coveting to death. Put revenge to death. Getting back at that guy. Do unto others before they do to you. No, the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do to you.
Yeah, amen.
Put that to death. And it says, 6th verse, because of these things the wrath of God cometh upon the sons of disobedience. That all that living, that's why wrath comes on people, see? Well, it doesn't come on us because we're not those children anymore. We're not the sons of disobedience. We're the sons and daughters of obedience. Right. We've been raised. Amen? And he says, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. So nobody's throwing any stones here. Man, we all did it. Come on, I'm not condemning people out there that live that way. Just because I quit something doesn't mean I hate people that hadn't quit it yet. That's always a sign of a bad man anyway. When you quit something and you're not happy that everybody else quits it. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. And it's a Christian, that's a hard thing sometimes because we live a certain way and we get around people that don't live a certain way and we get mad. And that's wrong. We should pray for them. We should make our stand, but we shouldn't hate.
Yeah.
I remember one one evangelist, very well-known evangelist years ago, television evangelist, was on a talk show with a guy that was a rock and roll guy, and he was sitting there with him on this panel or something on what the deal was. But he made the statement. He looked at him. He said, "You know, it's everything I can do just to even sit beside you." And I thought, he just lost that guy. That wasn't exactly the love of Jesus. Are you with me? There's a way to address sin, but that's not the way to do it. You know, we got to love people, and people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, you got to win people's hearts before you can, or win them, their hearts or heads or whatever, before you can win them over. You can't speak into everybody's lives. I can't, because I don't have that kind of favor. But some people I have favor with, and I have the right to talk to them. I have some authority in the sense that, because I've helped them, I've reached out to them, they know I care, they'll listen to me. But just Joe Blow off the street, walk up to him, start telling him how to live. You know, come on, I don't even know that guy. He doesn't know me. We don't even have a relationship. We don't try to win people's favor, see, and we should. You know, God worked on me a long time before I got saved. You know that? I didn't just get saved the first time I heard about Jesus. It took me a long time. Weeks, months. My former was witnessing to me, you know, and I started reading the Bible a little bit, but little by little, it just broke down. I fought this and I fought that, and I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. Nobody's going to rule my life, and, you know, I'm my own man, and la, 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 la. You know, I'm the answer. I am the problem. I am confused. But anyway, you know, as the weeks went by, and the guy kept praying for me, and his church prayed for me, and this is my foreman on the job. I was working on in Houston, up John Chemicals, where I was working. And little by little, I ran out of things to fight. It came down to God loved me. And I couldn't fight that. I could not fight that. He didn't hate me. He wasn't trying to control me. He wasn't trying to take over my life. He was loving me. He loved me. And so I got to that point, there was nothing to say. I wanted to fight, but there was nothing to fight. I was fighting myself. I shoot myself in the foot. That's the only one I was hurting and killing is me. God just loved me all that time. You know, I told you that story there. That guy went, a little bitty church in the Big Thicket area in Rye, Texas. Anybody know where that is? It's middle of nowhere. This guy's my foreman. He drove like an hour and a half to work every day down in Houston. And what broke it for me was he took my name and he put it in a prayer jar in the front of the church. Little big church. He came, he was so excited, he came in one week, he told me, he says, "We put your name in a prayer jar. We're praying that you get saved." I never will forget that. I said, "You get my name out of that jar." Now, hey, a few weeks before that, I just laughed about it. It scared me when he said that. I thought, my days are numbered. Because I'd already been starting to think about this, you know. And I had pretty wild lifestyle, drugs and all those things. And I was wild and, boy, loud mouth and just had terrible language and everything, you know. And been in jails and all those things, you know. And I'm telling you, after a few weeks of that, God just, you know, just loving on me and just telling me about the Lord, you know. He didn't just, you know, he didn't condemn me. He didn't do that. When he said that, I mean, fear hit me. I thought, God, what? You get my name out of that jar. Because I'm going to wind up getting saved here. And thank God I did. Hallelujah. But love won me. That's what won me over was love. You know, I don't know. I guess other people have witnessed to me over the years. But see, that man didn't hate me and he didn't condemn me. And he was my foreman. He could have fired me. I cussed him and God in front of him. I cussed him and Jesus. I made a fun of him and his faith. I mean, I persecuted him when he began to tell me about the Lord. I told him, I said, "Look, you believe in Jesus?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, let's grab hands right now and talk to him." And I grabbed his hands and cussed God for everything he was worth. That's your pastor. B.C., before Christ.
Praise God. Thank God.
And you know what he did? He turned red and turned around and walked off. Mm-hmm. Never brought it up again. Never said a word to me about it. Come back next day, he's telling about the Lord again. Telling about how his church services went, you know, and all that. Talking about the Lord all the time. I thought, this guy's crazy. But he was the only one that was sane. I was nuts. I woke up in New World every day. It was the same with him every day. Love. See, love, you just can't beat it. So it says we ought to stop all these things. Well, because they're killing us. Come on, they're killing us. I mean, it's like poison in you. It's just going to get in you, and it's going to make it worse and worse and worse, and that bitterness is going to destroy your family. And for long, you're not talking to each other, and years go by, and you're not talking to your family and friends and because of hate, because of bitterness, because you won't let it go. Come on, man, life's too short. Heaven's too high, and hell's too hot. Come on, we got to get on with the business of the gospel. Love each other and pray for each other. You're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. Hey, get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. That's just the way it is. None of us are perfect. Pray for each other. We're family. You know that? You're stuck with us. That's a good thing. Families work things out. They don't just run when something goes wrong.
That's right.
They work it out.
That's right.
You think Brent and I agree on everything? Not everything. I mean, there's lots of times we have disagreements. And I'll tell her about it, and she won't respond. You know how hard it is to argue with somebody that won't talk back? Makes me so mad. I needed someone like Brenda. God knew I needed someone like Brenda. She's a real stable force in our family. I'm like a high-strung horse. I really am, you know. And Brenda, she's calm and laid back, you know. And I see things that are not there. You know, I have scenarios that never happen. You know, I'm thinking, you ever have a conversation with a person, you go home and you critique that thing, and before long, they're like Ayatollah Khomeini or somebody, or Osama bin Laden by the time you get through with them. And they didn't mean anything. That you just read all that in there, and I know what they were thinking. I know what they were saying. I remember Bernie used to do this. I'd start, you know, long time ago. Anyway, Brenda would say, hey, you know, I don't think they're that smart. It wasn't being an insult. She was saying, they're not smart enough to think of all those things you're thinking they're thinking. They just said this. That's all they said. They didn't mean anything by that. Are you with me? And, you know, I overanalyze. I get paralysis analysis, you know. Praise God. So we're not perfect. But I love Brenda. Are you kidding? I love her more and more every year. We don't agree on everything, but hey, family's that way. Did you know we never think about divorce? That's not a word we even talk about. That's never an option.
That's right.
Murder. Yeah, murder. But not divorce. Yeah. We don't talk about running home to mama. My mama can't cook. I'm not going home to mama. Nobody cook like Brenda. Love. Everybody say love. Okay. We got to learn to love. We got to mind heavenly things here. Come on. You had an argument. You had a disagreement. Pray about it. Come on. Pray for the person. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray. Don't get revenge, you know, and get the last word in. Okay. I don't have a golf and all this stuff. I'm just airing all my dirty laundry today, y'all. But none of that's been years ago. Y'all do know. Yeah. Okay, sixth verse. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God's coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now. That's the way it was, but not now. Not now. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Amen. Not who you are now, but who you used to be. The old man. Put it off like a suit of clothes. Those things, you ever notice when somebody grows older, we often talk about midlife crisis or whatever the case may be, they sometimes will try to regress, you know, they'll start wearing some of the clothes out of the, you know, they're wearing stuff that teenagers wear, they're going through midlife, because they're trying not to look old, and they're not shaped the way they used to be, and it doesn't look right on them. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, they don't wear it real well. It doesn't really compliment them. It doesn't make them look good. They've actually grown out of that. Okay, say it that way. Well, I'm telling you, God's telling you how to dress here, and He's telling you put on some good stuff here, and you put off that old stuff. Because that doesn't wear well on you. Right. You've actually outgrown that.
You.
You're a Christian now.
Hallelujah.
You love Jesus. Hate doesn't look good on you. Anger doesn't look good on a minister. Are you with me?
Amen.
unforgiveness and bitterness doesn't wear well. I should have outgrown that. Are you with me? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Those things don't wear well. So when you're looking in that mirror, you go, whoa, that doesn't look good at all. Let's take that off. Let's take that anger off. Go on, let's take that bitterness off. Let's take that unforgiveness off. Man, that doesn't fit at all. That used to fit, but it doesn't fit anymore. It fit that old man, but I'm a new man. You getting it? So that's why he's saying put on and put off. Put on and put off. See, you put off these things that he lists here. These earthly things. These things that you're not supposed to be minding and thinking about all the time. You ever notice how mad you get the more you think about a situation? Instead of just praying about it and praying for the person. I don't care if you're by yourself. Driving down the road in your car, you are hollering at that windshield the time you get out of town. Because you won't let it go. You start going over everything. Oh, boy, next time I tell you what I'm going to say. Yes, I am. I'm going to say something. You better know I am. Yes, I am. Boy, not me. Not, how dare they say that to me? How dare they say that to me? Who do they think they are? You know, you're just getting madder by the minute. Just getting madder, madder. Before long, you've got too many clothes on.
Yeah.
And that's why you're so hot.
Yeah.
Layers, you know. You start taking the layers off. Come on, get the hate off. Get the bitterness off. Okay. Y'all catching this?
Yeah.
I'm doing everything I can to make this stick, communicate with you, okay? I'm trying my best here. Clothes, think about it. Put it off. It's amazing how Paul used these simple little examples and we miss it.
Yeah.
You know, you knew what he was saying when he used this metaphor, this analogy. So he said, he put on the new man, 10th verse. Put off the old, 9th. And put on the new. Wow. Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
Yeah.
The more you know him, the more you find out about Jesus, the more you dig into Jesus, you're renewed in knowledge in the one that created you. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, slave nor free. We could say black or white. We could say Democrat or Republican. We could go right on down the list. Are you with me?
Yeah.
There's none of that in Christ.
Amen.
Amen? And I have some definite views. Don't take me wrong. I think we as Christians should make stands politically and so on and so forth. But we're not talking about parties here. We're not talking about races here. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about social standing here. We're talking about being in Christ. We're all one in Christ. And he says here, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God. Boy, I love that. You ever been at a, you're growing up on a baseball, you know, getting the baseball team together and they're picking out, this is a local thing, you know, not the school, but, you know, the your neighbors, you're just kids and nobody wants to be the last one to be picked or the one that's not picked. And the first one, of course, is the guy's got the ball. And the second one's the guy's got the bat. And got to have them, you know. And you get left out. In life, it's that way. It's always that way. It seems like you're left out of this circle or that circle. You're not picked here. You're not picked there. You know, everybody wants to be accepted. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be heard, understood, needed, you know. That's common to everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. You want that. Isn't it good to know that God picked us?
Amen.
He picked every one of us. He elected all of us. Praise God. We are picked by God. Maybe when everybody else doesn't pick us, He picked us.
Amen.
Maybe when I don't get into everybody's circle, I'm in God's circle. Hallelujah.
That's right.
When everybody doesn't accept me, I am accepted in the Beloved. God's for me, not against me. And if God be for you, who can be against you?
That's right.
If God be for you, who cares who's against you? Amen? Amen. So He says this. He says, therefore, as the elect of God... That's us. Holy, beloved. That's us.
Yes.
Put on, this is what you put on. This is the things you think on. These are the heavenly things that make you of great earthly good. Put on, wear this, because you wear it well. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And the peace of God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Hey, that's what makes you look sharp. That's the best wardrobe you could have. You need to go and clean out your closets, really what you need to do. Get all that old man stuff out and put all that new man stuff in. Amen? And put all this stuff on, because the peace of God will rule your hearts when you do this. And the bond of perfection will take place in your life. And people will see Jesus in you. In fact, you're wearing the same clothes He's got on. They'll say, I just saw Jesus all in him. I mean, you could just see Jesus all over him. Well, what you saw was you had the same clothes on.
Yeah.
You put on love like he does.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Another way you can play off that word, put on. Some people say, well, if I said I loved him, I'd be making it up. It'd be a put on. Yeah, it probably would be a put on. But if you'll put it on long enough, you'll really love him. You'll act your way into loving. You'll act your way into praying for people. A lot of people I pray for, I don't feel anything when I'm praying for them. Well, I feel something, but I don't feel what I'm praying. Are you with me? I'm just being honest. I mean, but I can't afford that luxury. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I can't hate people. I'm not supposed to hate. I can't hold bitterness toward people. I have got to pray for people. And it's not right, but I got to do it anyway. No, it is right. I should do it. And when I first start doing it, when I first start praying, I don't feel anything. I still feel the hurt. I feel still feel the offense, maybe the anger, the bitterness. But God says pray, and He says forgive them, and He says, you know, that we ought to love. And so I do that. I just do that. And then, you know what? Next day, a little easier. Next time, it gets a little easier. And then before long, I really do love them. I really don't hold anything against them. Now, first it was a put-on. I just put on the love. Didn't have it for them, but I put it on. Yeah. I put it on. It was an act in one sense, but I acted my way into believing. I say it this way: if you're watching a movie, you know you got actors on movies, you know, and it's amazing when you see them interviewed later what knuckleheads they are. You think, are you kidding? This guy's an idiot. You know what? Yeah, maybe I shouldn't use that word. But that's because they're acting. And when the act's over and the play's over, they go back to who they were. But this is not that way. If you'll act out love, you won't go back the way you were.
Yeah.
This is not like a movie. If you'll act out, you know, praying for people and loving people, helping people and being kind and tender when you don't feel like it, see, you won't. It'll change you.
Yes, that's good.
And you'll become the part you play. So let's be careful what script we pick up here. Ask yourself what script you're following, because we're all actors in this play. But we will turn into what we're acting out if we'll act out the Word of God, the promises of God. We've been raised with Christ. Our life is hid with God. That old man is dead. We got a new man now. Amen. Let's live for Him.